Good morning, Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we are talking about the franchise tag today. The franchise tag window opens today. May tagging season begin. Happy President's Day to everyone. I assume most people still have to work today. What is it? Government employees get off? Postal workers? We have any postal workers joining us on this show today. Happy day off. Most people still have to work, right? But anyhow, happy President's Day. And happy tagging day. As they say, the tagging window opens today. There's no guarantee the Packers or any other team in the NFL is going to place their franchise tags today on any players, but they can start today. And who knows, maybe a few might. I from what I gather, the window is open 2 weeks. So 2 weeks from now, next Monday, what I think I wrote in today's Packers calendar, March 5th, if I'm correct, if I can remember off the top of my head. So, yep, that's what's happening. And so we're going to examine it here. We've certainly done it before, but it bears repeating. Not that I'm going to repeat it, but examining it a little bit. There's a couple guys who this impacts. Specifically, Jermichael Finley and Matt Flynn. They are the candidates for a franchise tag. And the Packers probably spent about half a second thinking about franchising, or putting a transition tag for that matter, on center Scott Wells. They can place transition tags too. They're just not quite as common as franchise tags. But the NFL classifies all offensive linemen together as one group, no matter what position you play, tackle, guard, center. So that's why it really doesn't work on Scott Wells, because franchise tags are you get the average of the top five salaries at that position. I think it's the average over a 5-year span or something like that. And anyhow, when you include left tackles in that equation, you know, in the NFL, there's a lot of highly paid left tackles who are, you know, protecting the backsides of their franchise quarterbacks who get paid a lot. And Scott Wells certainly is not in that category. You know, those guys are making in excess of $10 million a year, some of the better ones. And that's not realistic for a center, Scott Wells, especially one who's now over 30 years old. So while the Packers still, in my belief, need to try to sign him, he's not a candidate for the franchise tag. But let's spend a little bit of time looking at Jermichael Finley and Matt Flynn. The way I think it'll happen, and the way I think it should happen, happen to agree on this one, is that the Packers will place the franchise tag on Jermichael Finley. You know, let's go over his positives and his negatives, all right? Positives, he's freakishly athletic, okay? Freakishly athletic. He's one of these tight ends like Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez of the New England Patriots, who got so much attention this past year. Just a tall guy who can create mismatches, stretches the field, has good speed for a tight end, good player. Negatives: immature, and had problems catching the ball this past year. I think his problems catching the ball get way blown out of proportion. He was a good catcher. He didn't have any problems his first 3 years in the league with catching the ball, or at least, you know, no more so than anybody else, and it was never an issue, never a problem. All of a sudden, probably the last half of this year kind of was an issue, which is disappointing, no doubt about it. And he had several very critical drops that hurt the Packers, no doubt about it. It just, I don't think is as big as an issue as people make it out to be, because it hadn't been an issue for three prior years, albeit he was injured for part of that time. So that's why I don't think it's, you know, that's why I think it's blown out of proportion. And he is still unbelievably young, 24 years old. I remember Jason Wilde of ESPNMilwaukee.com pointing that out in an article. JerMichael Finley is the same age as rookie Ryan Taylor. Rookie! He's the same age as an NFL rookie. He's got a lot of good years left in him. And I think that is why you keep JerMichael Finley. He loves football. He's got a good rapport with Aaron Rodgers. He has knowledge of the offense. These are the reasons why you keep him around, at least for one more year with the franchise tag. You can only do that so many times, and then they're free to negotiate. And not to say that if you place the franchise tag on him, it's guaranteed to be a one-year deal. Hopefully you come to a long-term contract extension. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it'll not. But I think the Packers attempt to do it. Now, the more larger issue here is whether he'll get the franchise tag numbers for tight ends or wide receivers. As everybody knows, at least if you watch the Packers frequently, JerMichael Finley very much plays like a wide receiver at times. Lined up in the slot and out wide. Not in a three-point stance. But he does play tight end a lot, too. Kind of a hybrid type of guy. And Finley has argued that he will seek to get a wide receiver franchise tag. Now, I've also read, I don't know if it was a blog post or an article, but by Tom Silverstein in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that JerMichael Finley will have a hard time getting, wide receiver tag designation because he plays as a tight end more frequently. So he'll have a hard time winning that battle. And the consequences are that, you know, there's a big price difference between the two, between wide receiver and tight end. Something like a $4 million difference. So no small beans here. That's a big deal. It's some like nearly $5 million a year he would get as a franchise tight end, as opposed to $9 million a year as a franchise wide receiver. So big difference. You know, that's a lot of money per year. Now, the Packers may agree to concede paying him more than the franchise tag tight end. If they come to some sort of agreement, they may agree to pay him more, you know, somewhere in between. Their precedent has been set with, I believe it was Terrell Suggs, outside linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens, kind of one of those defensive end, outside linebacker hybrid guys. He too sought the difference between the defensive end and outside linebacker and ended up getting it. You know, the Ravens ended up meeting him in the middle. And that could happen with the Packers and Finley. And I would agree to more. If I were the Packers, I would agree to more than the floor, more than the floor, more than the bottom franchise tag tight end number. You know, I don't know if I would go as high as the wide receiver, the $9 million a year for a guy like JerMichael Finley. But I would meet him somewhere in the middle. No doubt about it. So these are all the things to look forward to in the next couple days. It's rather unlikely that the Packers could franchise Matt Flynn, do the old tag and trade thing. It's been examined from many angles, you know, ever since he had that huge game. And, you know, I think the Packers had to, you know, keep it open as a possibility that they could do that. They had to examine whether that could happen. But it just probably isn't likely. First of all, I mean, because they probably want to use it on JerMichael Finley. And there's all these other things that would keep it from happening. I mean, first of all, for it to even happen, they have to have a partner work out a trade with Matt Flynn ahead of time before this even would work. The Packers just can't place the franchise tag on him. They'd have to have a trade already worked out Ted the Sledge comments on the live blog, uncertainty over Peyton Manning hurts the Flynn case on the open market. Certainly, that as well. There are other options out there for teams to get a quarterback this offseason, one being Peyton Manning possibly, the other the draft. You know, two of the top draft choices will be Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin. They might be the top two players off the board total, number one and number two. So, I mean, there's other options. Although Flynn, you know, is certainly seeing his stock rise, no doubt about it. Kevin says Kyle Orton is another. Is that a joke? Kevin on the live blog. I mean, I certainly think that Kyle Orton will find a place somewhere in free agency. But I just don't think he's in the same level as Peyton Manning or even Matt Flynn. You know, my thoughts about Kyle Orton may be perhaps different than other people's, but anyhow. So where was I here? About the whole tag and trade regarding Matt Flynn. You know, that's why it's unlikely to happen, is because, you know, they have to have a partner set up ahead of time. Now, if somebody was willing to give up a first rounder and maybe more, say like a first and a fifth, a first and a third, wow, the Packers would really have to consider that, you know, right? I mean, if the Packers would get a first round draft choice and then another on top of it, they'd have to consider it. You know, why would you not? But why would that not happen, though? Here's why. Is because teams know that if he gets to free agency, which is, you know, a pretty good possibility, they don't have to give up any picks at all. They're just going to have to pay him a lot. You know, if they trade, they're A, going to have to pay him a lot, and B, give up picks. They don't want to do that. So, you know, they'll probably take the chance that he makes it to free agency. And they're willing to take that chance because of the thing we just talked about before. Peyton Manning will be a free agent. There's options to get quarterbacks in the draft. So even if they lose out on Matt Flynn, well, there's other ways to get a franchise quarterback. So that's why it's not going to happen. And not to mention this whole, you know, deal about the salary cap and the things that would have to happen first in order to get Matt Flynn tagged and get his, you know, would be probably a $17 million per year salary under the cap. You know, they'd have to work out a deal with JerMichael Finley and Scott Wells ahead of time, you know, so thinks Tom Silverstein. So, I mean, all these reasons lead up to it being very, very unlikely. But at the very least, if and when the Packers tag JerMichael Finley, that'll no longer be a viable option at all. So that's kind of examining the whole franchise tag issue here from just about every angle I can think of. By all means, if you can think of another, please feel free. And if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 347-352-0154 here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. And the other thing I wanted to touch on today was an article written yesterday in yesterday's Green Bay Press Gazette by Pete Doherty and Rob Domofsky, examining the front office of the Packers and pretty much the change that's gone on ever since the Packers hired President Mark Murphy, head of the franchise. You know, Mark Murphy, although he, you know, it doesn't really have too much of a say into what's going on the field, he makes the decisions for the people who, you know, he hires the people who make decisions on the field, Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson, things like that, and he hires the rest of the front office. And there's a little bit of, you know, hesitation or scare out there maybe that the Packers are becoming a little too corporate. That, you know, that's what prompted the article, you know, that they're losing perhaps ties with this, with the small Green Bay community, and such a unique situation it is, being the only community-owned team in all of professional sports in America, et cetera, et cetera. You know, that's that very makes it very unique, very, very unique. And no doubt about it, they can overlook that. I personally think the Packers have not gone too corporate yet, although they are, you know, treading water, perhaps. That might even be going too far, but, you know, there's a thin line. And I don't think the Packers have yet crossed it. But, okay, so this past year, they've had the stock sale in which they've raised, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I think it's like $60 million in that neighborhood with the stock sale. On top of that, they raised ticket prices. So they've done two big things here to increase revenue, and of course, at the expense of the fans. And, you know, they're the ones who are basically, you know, funding all these things. The season ticket holders, the people who are buying stock shares. You know, they can't do too many more things now with, and they take away FanFest as well. I mean, so there's, you know, some things going on here that, you know, a lot of people might not be too kosher with. But, you know, I personally think the Packers are in a pretty good position. As far as the stock sale goes, it's voluntary. You know, nobody is you know, forcing anybody to buy stock. So that's completely voluntary. But I suppose what might rub people the wrong way is the hike in ticket prices, you know, especially when they just raised $60 million, okay? Like, what do you need to raise ticket prices for when you just raised $60 million in the stock sale? I can see that. But then you also have the other end of the spectrum where the waiting list is, what, 90,000 people for season tickets, and if you don't want to pay it, somebody will. And it kind of is the laws of supply and demand. I mean, that's the reality. And I know it's expensive. Believe me, I know it's expensive. We talked about that on here many times before. I've said how I personally can only afford to attend a game or two every year. You know, with the family. With my family. You know, when you're including parking and food and tickets and entertainment and you name it, it adds up. So I know it's expensive, no doubt about it. But I think the laws of supply and demand allow that to happen. So, you know, and for the season ticket holders, I mean, maybe if they can't afford it, they got to start selling a couple games once in a while. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, you know. And I would imagine most season ticket holders do anyway. I'm sure there's a few out there that go to every game. But I would say they are in the minority, no doubt about it. So, you know, I think the Packers are doing everything just fine. If they were to do another cash grab, that might push them overboard a little bit. But I don't think they've been there yet. You know, thankfully, they're doing things to improve the stadium. They're using that money wisely, like stadium improvements. You know, things to benefit the fan. So that's a good thing. You know, it's the article also brought to light a man, you know, most people don't know. One of the vice presidents of the Green Bay Packers, Tim Connolly. What is he? Vice president of, I forget, something like sales and marketing. And he's basically been involved with, you know, selling tickets as far as like premium seating goes, club seats, skyboxes, things like that. And, you know, that's not easy. Those you got to find corporations to basically buy, you know, buying expensive tickets for one, but then a big block of them on top of each other for every game. I mean, that takes a talented person to sell those type of things. You know, the thing that most of us don't get to experience games like that. Most of us sit in the cheap seats. But anyway, I do understand that's part of reality. And I have nothing, if people can afford it, well, good for them. Go nuts. And he also, you know, in charge of like internet sales, things like that, you know, brings in revenue to the Packers, you know, big time revenue. You know, that's a way for the Packers to bring in revenue, things like that. Skybox sales, advertising on the internet. And you know, they, people have said through their interviews that they conduct at the Green Bay Press Gazette that this Tom Connelly has perhaps rubbed people the wrong way. Perhaps a little too aggressive. But, you know, I don't know. That's the only really negative thing you hear, though, is that he's maybe too aggressive. But as long as he gets results, I don't know how much you can complain over being aggressive. You know, that, because that's the complaint in a vacuum, is he's being too aggressive. Now, if you were to come out with something a little more concrete, you know, that he's doing wrong, that he's being unethical maybe, okay, then I'll listen to it. But if the biggest thing you're going to say is that this Tom Connelly guy is being too aggressive, well, okay. Again, I mean, he is, from what I've read, he gets results. So, you know, I don't know if there's a whole lot to complain about there. Maybe where there's smoke, there's fire. But, you know, I've seen nothing, no smoke yet, other than claims he's being aggressive. So, again, I don't know what more to say about that. But, I mean, you know, interesting, a very worthy topic for a in-depth research investigative article, you know, where the Packers have been, where they're headed. And you know, I think part of it is the NFL is forcing the Packers to be corporate. If people want the Packers to be in Green Bay and part of the NFL, well, they better get with the times. And I think the Packers are doing a really good job generating a lot of revenue and making sure this team stays in Green Bay. They're preserving the franchise, basically. And I think they're doing a good job at that. You know, if that's what people want, well, that's what they're getting. Ted the Sledge comments on the live blog, "Don't the Packers have expansion plans beyond the stadium changes on the land acquired around the stadium? Maybe they're building their war chest for that." No doubt about it. There is plans that the Packers will be expanding the entertainment district, I think they call it, around Lambeau Field. And again, that's far into the future, but you know, those are things that are being considered. Hotels, more retail, restaurants, things like that, that are owned by the Packers, that they can get more revenue. And I say good for them, you know, if they're doing those kind of things. You know, and it works for them, you know. I mean, if they build a hotel and then gouge everybody and nobody uses the hotel, well, I mean, that's their own problem. But if they're willing to, you know, build a hotel that for a reasonable price that people are willing to pay, good for them. You know, I think it keeps them competitive with other NFL teams. You know, there's been talk of many things, you know, building youth sports facilities that would be used for tournaments, you know, football fields that flag football tournaments would be held at, or youth basketball tournaments and exhibition halls and things like that. I've even heard casino, you know, building a casino, and believe me, there's a lot of obstacles to building a casino, you know, in and around Lambeau Field, and I'm not even sure it could ever possibly happen. But, you know, these are things being discussed, though. And so, you know, these are things that will happen down the road, but, you know, I think good for the Packers. Kevin asked on the live blog, "When are you heading to the Combine?" I'll be heading there Thursday. Kind of interesting, the NFL Combine lasts 1 week, starts this Wednesday, just 2 days from now, until next Tuesday, span of 7 days. And the the players come in waves. They come in groups. I think we talked about this last Friday. I think the first day on Wednesday, offensive linemen, tight ends, and specialists arrive in Indianapolis. But they're also the first group to leave. Like, they're only there through Saturday or something like that. So it is kind of interesting that, you know, not every player is there for the whole 7 days. It's like four. And in fact, media availability, even though the combine starts on Wednesday, media availability does not start till Thursday. So you won't be reading anything really about the combine until Thursday. I mean, unless what you hear from the NFL themselves. I'm sure the NFL.com and the NFL Network, they get the privilege of getting a head start on everybody else. So, it's interesting. I'm very excited to head to the combine. I got my first, you know, chance to cover it last year, and I'm really excited to do it again this year. And I hope to do just bang up coverage over the course of 4 days, writing articles, recording podcasts, shooting video. I'm not sure how much I'll do of each. I'm only one man and can only do so much, but I'm going to do as much as humanly possible. So I'm going to try to bring you the best coverage possible. So make sure to stay tuned to CheeseheadTV.com over the course of the rest of this week or so. And even beyond that, it really is amazing. There's over 300 players there, and I try to sit in as many interviews as possible, giving me material to write about prospects from now until the draft, from now until April. So it really is an amazing event in that sense, where you get that it gives you so much material to write about. I mean, because, you know, starting this week and for the rest, you know, for the next 2 months, it's all about the draft, all about the draft, with free agency thrown in there as well, of course. Kind of nice today that they got this franchise thing tag, we can focus on it today and tomorrow, and then starting Wednesday, it's starting to focus on the combine then. Gives us something to talk about today, right? But yeah. But we'll have plenty of good coverage. Aaron Nagler is going to be there as well, so we're going to have it covered for you. Basically, how it's broken up, and these are not hard and fast rules, but Aaron will be bringing you the NFL coverage from the combine, while I'll be bringing the college angle. Aaron will be covering the Packers. Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson will be holding press conferences, along with coaches and general managers from most NFL teams. So, you know, I'm sure there will be very interesting tidbits coming out from, you know, new general manager Reggie McKenzie in Oakland and new head coach Joe Philbin in Miami. So lots of cool things going on there as well. And I'll be focusing a lot more on the college aspect, the players who are there, getting ready to embark upon their NFL careers. So that's what's happening the rest of this week here at Cheesehead TV. And really exciting time. You're going to be blown away with our coverage, I hope. I hope you are. And, stay tuned for the next episode of Railbird Central. I'm not sure when it's going to be, actually, because the travels that involve getting to Indianapolis and coming back, and, you know, I'm just not even sure when the next episode will be here. So, to make up for it, I'm playing a lot of, you know, coverage elsewhere and a lot of articles written. So hopefully that'll make up for any missed episodes of Railbird Central here. But I thank you all so much for joining me, as you do almost every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com. Have fun, everyone. Have a good week. Have a good President's Day. Have a good Monday. However you want to classify it. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. Have a very good day, everyone. I leave you with a song called Valley of the Jig by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See everyone.